And this is the first lecture of the day of December the 18th. You have today something to put your head around. The name of this lecture is The Only One. Please don't take it in the line of an insult. It's a game you're playing. The messed universe has as its basic unit two. The whole confusion of man's logic, of his difficulties, of all of these various things that he runs into mathematically, the only thing he ever really argues about in religion is just this, the only one, when it should be the only two. Now, anybody that's going around having a hard time and being jealous and being upset and being liable to this and that and worrying about getting knocked off and that sort of thing is playing the only one. If you wanted a Thetan to stay on the ground and be a good boy, you would find that you would have to get him so that he invested something, which he would then after that would have to protect. Or you would, if you couldn't really get him to invest anything he really cared about, you'd have to make him think that he had something there which he had invested. So you would get him to confuse something with his own. And then you would tell him that he had to have this something because it was his own. In other words, you would get him in a state of mind where his only two computation, which is his basic computation is only two, you see. So that the only two computation would have to fit himself and something in the messed universe. You perform with him then a marriage between himself and the universe. You take something that belongs to the universe that doesn't belong to him, and you make him understand completely that this is his, and this is part of his makeup. Well, he knows this is true because he's running on an only two computation. You see, he knows there's two of him. So we get such ball-ups as we face immediately of a Thetan inside a body. This is weird. I mean, this is impossible. Thetan inside of a body. Well, a Thetan could be outside a body with his other self inside the body and manage it just handsomely. But if there's only one of the Thetan, then his other self must be, of course, the body. A Thetan is the only two. That's the minimal number. And it goes from there on multiples of two. The only four, the only eight, the only 16, the only 32, the only 64, the only 128. He doesn't go on the basis of the only one. You see, the secret of this universe is really that there's no secret at all. That's the main secret of this universe. The main thing about hidden influences is that there's no secret about hidden influences. You can go on like this. But there is a datum which is too obvious to be observed. And that datum that's too obvious to be observed is so obvious that it becomes, of course, a secret. And that is that there's only two anywhere you look. And that the universe is incapable of operating on one of anything. It's utterly incapable of operating on one of anything. The only thing that runs a Thetan downhill is his inability to impose space between two terminals. Now, I refer you to 880. I refer you also step 5, SOP8C. I refer you also to the occluded case. I refer you also to marital difficulties. I refer you also to God and the devil. They say there's only one God, and then they give you two. They say, there is only one. This fellow keeps going along his whole life saying, there's only one of me, and he's married. And everything he has to do, he has to consult the wife. This girl goes along, and she says, there's only one of me. And she feels completely lost and unbeautiful and upset and everything else, unless she's got a guy somewhere. And this is the way the universe rolls. This super obviousness just keeps parading along in front of everybody's face, and they never look at it. Everybody says, I'm the only one. John Jones. There is only one John Jones. The FBI said there's only one set of fingerprints on John Jones, and this is the only John Jones there is. It's interesting, isn't it? We come along and exteriorize John Jones. Well, that's kind of silly. Satan doesn't have any fingerprints, and that's the only motive power in John Jones. And this is very interesting. Now we have the pre-clear who pops out of his head and pops back in again. He pops out of his head and tries to play the only one outside of his head. That's what we've got to take up here. You can't do it. I mean, the agreement with the messed universe. See, you could actually be sitting out in the middle of your own universe being one. See, no second terminal discharge at you could emanate energy. You could say there is energy going out from me now, and it doesn't even have to have a second terminal. But the laws of this universe insist, and this is a universe which really specializes in law. I mean, the only people in the universe who are respected are police and attorneys and so forth. The whole universe operates on law. And then people who know the law well enough in physics and so forth, they pass and get to make atom bombs. And if everybody knows the law, why, he just gets along fine. See, the law is the main thing. Only if you look over the law, you'll find out that everybody who is within inside the law is despicably beneath one's contempt. When one gets too close inside the law, he's done. Oh, but done. I mean, thoroughly. I mean, I couldn't put enough exclamation points. You get some attorney, he's been goofing around and fooling around with judges and law books and so forth, and he comes to you. Take a look at him. Take step 18, SOP8C. Start in. You'll finally get him to a point where he will admit he has the responsibility of moving his thumb. Guy's a lost dog. Now, law. Law says in this universe there must be two terminals for energy to occur. Trouble your Thetan is he hasn't got any energy. We've gone over that before. We've said energy's responsibility is this, is that, is something else. It's all of these various things. Well, in this universe, in order to make energy, to have a generator or a motor, you have to have at least two terminals, and space has to be imposed on them. Terminals aren't important, but the space is. And we just look it over, fast review of this datum. Here sits an electric generator. Why does it run? Well, space is being imposed magnetically upon two terminals, and these two terminals have space imposed on them by the base of the motor. Now, that's the most important part of the motor, the base of the motor, because it's imposing space in these two terminals. If it weren't there to impose space on the two terminals, you could have all the magnetic fields you ever dreamed of around, and just nothing would happen. There'd be no juice come out of this generator, simply because the terminals were close together. See, they would be together, no space between them. So space is necessary, and it's imposition between these two terminals. So we'll just find this universe out by looking at an electric motor. We know that it's a condensed form of electricity that makes up these walls. It's a condensed form of electricity which makes up any matter. And electricity itself, one way or the other, is part of any energy. You can mechanically translate electricity out of chemicals. It isn't done today here on this planet because it isn't economical. But there are ways and means of just taking up shovelfuls of chemicals and throwing them into a battery and running motors. You know, they just give direct electrical flow. Well, electricity is very common to all of these things. So one of the first data that the universe tries to bury is what is electricity, and they try to bury that madly. The physicist is insane on this subject. I mean, just that he's insane on this subject. He'll get some kid that he's trying to teach in high school, or even goes back to the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scout manual on electricity. They teach 12, 13-year-old kids. It starts out with the first thing you have to learn about electricity is that nobody knows what electricity is. And if you have that datum down solidly, then we will teach you from there on. But if you don't swallow that one, the hell with you. Well, that's just as blunt as that. The first thing we know about electricity is that nobody knows what electricity is. Now, that's a fine point of defeatism to start from, isn't it? Well, they start from that point of defeatism, and then it gets worse. You know what electricity is. Anytime you push your hand against a desk or your foot against the floor or something like that, you have force. or electricity is a flow manifestation of force, that's all. It behaves exactly according to the laws of force. Laws of force behave exactly according to electricity. You even get torque and the Ohm's law and everything else. You start applying Newton's laws, for instance. None of these fall down when you come up against some electricity. And the laws of motion and the laws of electricity. Well, you can say electricity is condensed and conduited motion. There's no reason to be upset about it. It's a flock of particles on their way someplace. And there's two kinds of electricity. Only nobody's ever noticed this one. Because there's a kind of electricity that stands in one place as a particle and gets kicked by its neighbors. See, that's that kind of electricity. And the other kind is the one that the particle that runs like hell. You see? There'd be two kinds of particle behavior. So we have two kinds of particle behavior and actually have two manifestations of electricity. Well, in any other motion law that you can find in the universe, you will find a comparable behavior in electricity because you're looking at motion when you're looking at electricity. And the fellow who says, the first thing you've got to learn about electricity is that nobody knows what electricity is, he might as well be saying, the first thing you've got to learn about motion is nobody knows what motion is. Whoa. Any little kid walk down a hall, he knows what motion is. He's moving. He's a particle, or he's moving a particle. Simple. Only this, of course, would escape everybody. It's like space's viewpoint of dimension. One thing we don't know about space is nobody knows what space is. You see, if you can just thoroughly enough bury one of these data and take it away from people so they won't thereafter inspect the thing, you can get away with a stupid tricks like this only one trick. The Thetan loses one of him by failing to impose space between two terminals. It's all right for you to sit there and say, well, I don't know anything about electricity, and he's talking about physics and this sort of thing, and that's very deep and that's very horrible. It's all right for you to say that, but you'll have to face up to it sooner or later. That if you've agreed with the universe, then you've agreed that the place where you're going to get your electricity or motion is by imposing space between two terminals, which is to say, you and the person you're talking with, or you as a Thetan and you as a body. Any weakness there is comes after you've agreed to this. It takes two terminals to generate electricity. You see, it doesn't take two terminals to generate electricity. You simply can say, let there be electricity, zoom. You got it. It doesn't even have to go to another terminal. You don't even have to be an energy mass in order to generate this. But after it's, now get this one, after it has already been generated and an automaticity has been set up to make the generation reoccur, in other words, after you have a mass, you know, you have mass of energy, like an object. After that step has been taken, then interchange of energy between two such masses is the sole method of recovering from that mass further electricity. Now, let's be very specific about this. Let's take that microphone there and this microphone here. All right? Now, there isn't any reason why Thetan, and he can. He simply says there's a microphone there, and boom, there's a microphone there. One terminal. It doesn't exchange with him for the good reason he isn't mass. He doesn't have any mass. All right, he says there's a microphone there. Okay? Now, if he is so lazy, or if he wants to get so involved, that he doesn't want to go on generating some electricity, all he has to say is, and this is the simplest experiment you can make. Put out two terminals. Even a guy who's very occluded can get something like two terminals out and start a flow flowing. He can say, boom, there's another microphone. Now he's got two microphones standing there together. And what do you know? There will be a current flow from those two mock-ups, one to the other. As a matter of fact, if the current flow continuing between those two mock-ups is put into another thing, even an e-meter dial, I mean, put two mock-ups and then lead a line over to an e-meter dial, you can read the discharge between those two mock-ups. Well, what's discharging? It's what the Thetan said was there. That's what's discharging. He can at any time make a new one. He can make a new mass. He can make a mass 18 times as big. Now, he can also do this trick. He can take hold of those two mock-ups, see those two microphones, and he can wobble them in, you know, in and out, toward each other, zing, 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 and materially increase the flow. By putting what? Mechanical energy into the terminals by changing the amount of space between the two terminals, and that essentially is what a magnet does when imposed in between. You can make electricity by making two terminals magnetically come together and depart from each other. You can have two masses, you see, and they charge each other, and you pull them apart, and they charge each other, and you pull them apart, and they rush at each other, and you pull them back, and you rush at each other, and pull them back. You've got a basic motor when you're doing that. That's all you have to do. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a big magnetic setup or coils or anything else. You'll get a flow if you do this. What I'm trying to make here is we've taken the second step, which is conserve energy. We talk about the conservation of energy. Well, the Thetan who doesn't want to keep saying there, all right, there's now a continuing flow here because he thinks this is going to be very bad. He thinks it's very, very, very bad, you know, to have to have a continuing flow. Well, he's going to put a big deposit of energy there, which is thereafter going to act on another deposit of energy. And forevermore, there's going to be a flow as long as there's masses, two masses there, there's going to be a flow of energy take place between these two things. That way, he can set up an automatic piece of machinery. And the difference between a Thetan doing this and an engineer setting up a coal steam generating plant is not observable, because exactly the same laws are being obeyed in either case. Now, the Thetan who believes he shouldn't create anything, of course, is going to start picking up all of the old energy masses he can find around and putting them in proximity so that he can have current. Now, there's behavior, and you're looking straight at behavior. Well, he sets up all kinds of things to do this, you see. Now, the next thing that happens to him is he himself conceives himself to have mass. He has a name. He becomes a symbol. A symbol is something which is wrapped around with energy. And it's mobile, so he's a symbol now. His name is Joe. Doesn't matter what significance he gets out of this name. The deepest significance out of the name is that he's given himself an identification as a symbol and wrapped himself around with energy. Now he gets in the vicinity of something like anything. He gets in the vicinity of this, and he starts discharging. It discharges at him, and he discharges at it. He gets a flow, in other words, and you can set up all sorts of strange arrangements this way. You can set up the terminal that is the left side of the body and the terminal that is the right side of the body, and they will thereafter, if fed once in a while, surreptitiously by the Thetan or overtly through the stomach, if these terminals are fed in terms of mass, they will keep on discharging, and you've got a motor. Happens to be a body, and the body sits there, and the left side discharges to the right side, and you've got an alternating current machine. It's what the body is. It runs at 98.6, and it's the fuel which continues this alternation is described as carbon-oxygen. Carbon-oxygen engine. It breathes in air, and this takes care of the oxygen and so on, and the bellows of the lungs go back and forth. And it's lots of fun. It's a very unfragile motor, really. Very low temperature, highly efficient, much more highly efficient than any steam engine. But basically, one is putting in mechanical energy in order to get electrical responses. And every once in a while, somebody's right side terminal, left side terminal ceases to operate. You know, gets torn down or knocked down. He has a stroke, or he has paralysis, or something or other happens with regard to this. It's a very rugged motor. But we're not trying to be mechanistic. The one thing we mustn't fight is being mechanistic about something. I don't know where they got this completely irky word, this phrase, but they call themselves pastoral psychologists. I think that wonderful. You can just hear the pan pipes and the bang of little sheep as they graze out across the brush. The pastoral psychologist fights viciously against any mechanistic approach to the problem of mental operation. He doesn't do anything either. I mean, he doesn't achieve any results. His main effort is to fight this mechanistic approach. Well, now, why should he fight a mechanistic approach? What bridge is he trying to recover? What bridge is he trying to get back to? He's trying to get back to the bridge of the individual. He doesn't know anything about this. I mean, it's like saying, why does the motor fight? The bridge, however, mechanistic. If you keep fighting this mechanistic thing, or the idea that one is mechanical, and so on, that is an effort to get back to the point where you simply create not only the mechanics, but the laws, too. You get back to the point where you say there's now a stream of energy and there's a stream of energy and that's that. You're trying to keep from getting into this two-terminal super proposition. Well, all right, a thetan individual operating as an individual could get away with it as long as he himself was not mass. Well, in view of the fact that he's totally capable of being 8 people, 16 people, 32 people, 64 people, 128 people, and basically should be 2 people, he basically should be 2. By the way, every once in a while somebody slips on this one and they compulsively re-become 2 people. You have skits, what you call a skits personality and so on. The fellow is being 2 people madly inside of himself and is trying to rehabilitate this ability of two-ness, you see. So he gives himself 2 entirely different personalities and he gets it all fouled up and so forth. Being 2 people, that is to say, being 2 thetans, one would co-know. He would know each of his beingnesses, or he could know separately, but with great ease, and at any time he could co-know. What's happened to a skits is he is no longer able to co-know. He's tried the trick of being 2, which he should be, and then he's forgotten how to co-know. So he has 2 violently opposed personalities, both of which is himself. We're not interested in insane manifestation. You know, trying to study the mind by trying to study the insane is something like trying to study electrical motors after they've been worked over with hammers. They just don't look the same. The best study that can be made of the subject is to make the theta clear, somebody who's super, super sane, and then take a look at this. This is what you get. All right. The thetan then protests at length against this idea of having 2 terminals. He fights the idea. He doesn't like the idea. I mean, what do you mean? You put up 2 terminals there, 2 masses of energy, and they afterwards discharge, and this runs something else. Well, why should this do that? Because for the good reason that, look at here, there's no reason why it should do this. Because you can just say, well, now a current will proceed to this, and we'll run this thing. But you just don't do it that way here. You know, big argument. Now, a thetan who can be persuaded to set up these energy masses on the basis that he himself can no longer generate energy is almost a done dog. He's pretty bad off. Because the original reason he set up 2 such terminals is just for fun. It's fun to look at these things and have them automatically run something else. And, oh, you could string it around like mad and this. Very interesting to look at. But this wasn't compulsive. But this was the D of the DEI cycle. It finally got enforced on him that he do this. He did this so much. Well, when he has lost his ability to create, he starts falling back on this 2-terminal mechanism. And instead of being 2 himself, in other words, perfectly willing to be 2, he starts fighting double or match terminalism. He starts fighting terminalism. And when he does, he sets the example thereafter by being only 1. Are you with me? Now, he protests, and what you fight, you see, you have a tendency to unbecome at first and then become. So a fellow starts fighting 2 terminals by saying, well, I'm only 1 terminal. Well, that's because he's failed so many times to make 2 terminals come together. He sees some motor operating. He doesn't like this motor, so he slaps it from side to side. He tries to take the space out from between the 2 terminals so it will cease to operate, and there's the Frankenstein monster effect, in essence. He set something going, and then he didn't like this, and so he decided he'd take the space out between the 2 terminals, and it won't operate, and he failed to do this. So in protest on this, he becomes 1. Well, now, actually, there's several cycles in view of the fact that basically there's a choice that he be 1 or be 2. You see, he can be 1 or 2 or 8. He can be any number, you see. Why, he possibly was busy being 2, friends of himself, and he set up 2 terminals, and these 2 terminals started to jar one against the other, and it set too much current going, which spoiled some mock-up he just made or something of the sort. See, so he slapped them together. Only he didn't slap them together. They won. Well, perhaps then he was slightly compulsively, too. See, he lost his power of choice. We're just kind of scouting over the ground here a little bit. He lost his power of choice of whether he was 1 or 2. He's supposed to be 2 now. To that degree, you see, he becomes what he fights. All right. Now, we take this two-terminal proposition, and it operates forevermore. It's what he has to accept. But they're both his terminals. He's both himself. He's slightly compulsively, too, there for a while. And then one day, one of him, he gets it changed around so that he loses the power of control over one of him. Now, how would he do this? Various ways, various things could happen. He could be playing chess with himself and get mad at himself. See, that's the simplest sort of a mechanism on that, and sends himself away. Then when he recovered himself back, he wouldn't have himself. He'd have somebody else. Now, he could make that basic error. And if you're looking for an error any place to correct, that's the error you'd correct. One of him went away and somebody else came back, or somebody else reached in real quick and grabbed one of him and substituted another one of him for it. And after that, he went on the delusion that he was this too. This is basic delusion. He is this too, any two with which he's operating. You see, the man, the woman, so on, his beings. He has a double beingness there. He operates on the basis that any other terminal which confronts him, because he's now operating as a terminal, not a creative unit, any other terminal which confronts him is the other one of him. So you can just throw that away at random. Just keep picking in new terminals and throwing them away, and picking in new terminals and throwing them away. Each time, then, he loses second terminal. He feels that he's lost that much more of himself. Because he's already in a cycle. If he's sitting in a terminal, he's already in a cycle that he can't create. The only two there is within him. It's a real silly thing. He's sitting right there inside of his head, too. Basically, he's potentially, he can be, he compulsively is, too. The only way he'd ever have any conversation, communication with himself, the only way he can send himself to India and back is to be, too. Tell himself to do something. Everybody does this all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. Be relaxed about it, because that's two of you, you see. And he'll set up automaticity and forget about the other one of himself. And all kinds of beautiful, interesting combinations occur because of this two-ness. But the mistake comes about when he considers that any terminal he faces is his other self. He forgets that he himself is two, or can be two, or eight, or 64. And then he starts facing this terminal, and he gives it beingness as far as he is concerned. It never feels the beingness which he has there. You see, it doesn't feel this beingness. It's being two, too. And so men and women seldom understand each other. The man looks at the woman, and he feels his own beingness coming back from this woman. The woman looks at the man and feels her own beingness coming back from the man. They're totally out of communication. They're two terminals operating. Well, now, when his first breakdown into weakness, the real weakness, when I mean this as a real saggy, horrible sensation, this sensation of weakness, is when he has failed to impose space between two terminals, or failed to take the space out from between two terminals. Wanting a man to stay with her who didn't stay with her, you see, is failing to take the space out between two terminals. He failed to be able to hold two terminals together. Wanting the man she loved not to be with the other woman was failing to be able to put space between two terminals. Now, when a person has failed enough to put space between two terminals, or failed to remove space from between two terminals often enough, then they can't back out of their heads. Because they can't put space between themselves, however plural, and the body. They can't impose enough space between themselves and the body. You get all sorts of manifestations. They don't impose enough space. You say 4 feet, you get 5 feet. Pardon me, that's a dispersal case. You say 5 feet, you get 4 feet of space between. You see, it can't put enough space in there. That's the whole manifestation. And in view of the fact that the Thetan is busily running this thing called the Only One, well, he's in a dreadful state of mind, because he can't put space there, you see, and yet he can be the only one, so he has to have other terminals repetitively. Now, the body is playing the only one. The body, the most multiple creature imaginable, in terms of beingnesses, tries to play the only one. That's in protest against two terminals, which is in protest against the universe. And it plays the only one, and so compulsively has to have two terminals to do anything. So you get fellows going around being terribly jealous. They get into competition with the meshed universe. They get into competition with other guys. Girls get into competition with other girls and in competition with the universe at large. They don't think they can put up anything beautiful because something else can put up something more beautiful. And this all comes about because of the computation, the only one. The only one. That means I'm only one terminal, therefore I've got to stay for any energy I'm going to generate. If any energy is going to be generated around here, it'll only be generated if we have a second terminal. It's we, you see. Anytime a Thetan speaks of himself singularly after he gets up just a little bit toward clear, he starts to feel strange. He thinks he means the body in himself there. But after he goes on up to SOP 8O and so on, he gets this duality, and that's the echelon we're moving on into right now. We, he says. He can't quite conceive I as a pronoun. You see, I is no fun. There's no randomity. You can't make your other self change your mind. You know, you can't have a conversation. You have to go around and talk with strangers. See, I mean, Thetans kid themselves all around about this. But we is much easier than I. I in this universe is almost impossible, untenable situation. It is so untenable, it is so impossible, that an individual, having recognized its untenability and impossibility, fights it down to the point where he becomes the only one. And then to have any energy at all, he has to join forces with other terminals and other terminals and other terminals endlessly. And he knows he can't impose space between two terminals. And he knows he can't take space out from between two terminals. And yet he is the only one, so on. He just becomes a pawn. He can be a little straw blown around by any breeze. And this is the way it goes. Well, so much for theory. I am afraid that the process involved with this is heroic. There are several processes involved. Process on this, really, if you run it on somebody who's not exteriorized, it very well may be that you have to run it on somebody who's not exteriorized in order to exteriorize him. I mean, there can be a case that bad off. He just can't impose space between two terminals. So. Just can't do it. And you say, be 3 feet back of your head, and he just doesn't move. He's got to keep space from getting between two terminals. In other words, so he won't lose something. And so he holds on, pulls himself in. And it's possible you do this. Well, if you have to do this, this is the way you would do it on somebody interiorized. You'd have him get the idea of trying to hold a man and a woman apart. How long does it take to run this? I would say a couple hours at least. Well, not just that one facet of it, but I mean this is a process. And you would run it with an E-meter. You'd put him on an E-meter because you as an auditor shouldn't miss and leave him hung up on this. You put him on an E-meter. And with this E-meter, you watch and make sure that you keep that needle rising. And when the needle sticks or begins to jerk, why, he's hit the limit on this particular step, and you go to the next one. And the first one is he tries to impose space between a man and a woman. He tries to keep a man and a woman apart. You know, in mock-up form. I don't care if he can't get mock-ups. Just have him get the idea, get weaker than a cat. Now, as soon as your needle stops rising on that, just let him hold that and keep on trying to do it and duplicating it. You know, this is essentially, I'll go over this again. Get the idea, man and woman out in front of him. He's trying to keep them from coming together. He's trying to keep space between them. He gets that. And you ask him, after a little while, to duplicate that elsewhere. And then, after a little while, duplicate it elsewhere. Now, don't be surprised if he is unable to do anything. You've asked him to do this, and he becomes unable to do anything. You just make him hold that first one he has there as nearly as he can. because the most nauseating waves of weakness may shoot over him. And you watch him on a meter. This is very, very particular, neat running. It really requires a lot of auditor alertness. It's nothing you dope off on, because the feeling of weakness in there, I mean, it's just murderous. It's just agony. Did you ever have to swim sometime, long, long while, and so on, and then your muscles just all went to pot at the end of it, and you just couldn't stand it, you were so tired? Well, that's the kind of feeling comes over many a preclear on this. Not necessarily, but it's not unusual. Now, as soon as you've got that feeling of weakness discharged, you go to the other condition, which is trying to keep space from occurring between two terminals. First one is you want these two terminals to stay apart, and the second one is you want them to come together. See? You want them to come together. Trying to keep space from occurring between these two terminals. And you'll get the same feeling of weakness will come over him, and then as soon as you can, you ask him to duplicate it, and you just have him duplicate it, and duplicate it elsewhere, and duplicate it elsewhere, and duplicate it, 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 until he can handle that somewhat. And as soon as the needle stops rising, you go from one of these conditions that you are running to the other condition. See? You just play these back and forth across each other, between each other. First, you try to keep a man and a woman apart, and then you try to keep a man and a woman from parting. And then man and woman apart, and then a man and woman from parting. And you run it, each one, as long as the E meter will rise, and then you get the effect of duplicating it while the E meter is still rising. As soon as your preclear is able to duplicate it a little bit, why are you letting duplicate it? After a while, he'll run out those sensations of weakness, but it may require quite a little while for you to do so. This is real tough. This is real tough auditing, by the way, because it requires alertness on the part of the auditor. And it's got underlying it, of course, such a thing as the assumption. That lies right under there, because that's an inability to impose space, because it's an unwillingness to impose space between one's old fact one body, or whatever he's using for an assumption body, you see, and the mess body, which he has. He isn't imposing space between these two things. He doesn't want to. There's a desire there to grab that baby right there at the beginning, which means no space, which means we're going to collapse terminals right here at this point. Boom. Well, there's the basic postulates on we have to collapse terminals. All right, now, after you've discharged this pretty well, so that he is no longer concerned about holding men and women apart or holding men and women together, and of course that can be himself, you know, holding himself in another woman or holding herself in another man, you start to run it in terms of duplicating the only one. And you do it this wise. You walk himself up as the only one with an invisible barrier between himself and the mock-up. And you keep this up until it discharges. You got that now? You see why that is? Oh, let's be a little smarter this morning. It's a mirror, of course. The only other time he's seen another one of himself is a mirror. And, of course, he has that barrier between the other mock-up and himself. He's seen this in the messed universe. Mirrors. So you have him mock up something as the only one with an invisible barrier between himself and it. And you'll discharge the insidious effects of mirrors, and you may take his glasses off of him in a very short time. But you're not going to describe to him about mirrors. You're not going to worry about this, because there's earlier material than mirrors on it. So you just have him keep duplicating the only one with no space around the only one mock-up every time. It's the second stage. First, you mock up of himself as the only one. Another mock up of himself is the only one. Mock of it, just to get it going, you see. Another mock of himself is the only one. Now, mock up of the only one with a visible, invisible barrier between you and the mock up. Another mock up of you is the only one with the invisible barrier between you and the mock up. Another mock up of you is the only one visible barrier between you and the mock up. Got that? And you'll start running out all the mirrors. See, the messed universe, because he's only looking at one object at a time, tells him visually that there's only one. Shows him only one in the mirror, doesn't show him two. The messed universe lies to him, in other words, through the mirror. All right. Have him just keep mocking up the only one till there's no further charge on looking through mirrors and so forth. Then we start handling the only one in terms of the only one with no space around it. The only one with no space around it. The only one with no space around it. And after he's run this for a short time, we run the only one with and the space around the mock-up. The only one and the space. The only one and the space. The only one and the space. Just keep him duplicating that. The only one and the space. Now duplicate it. Now duplicate it. Now duplicate it. Now duplicate it. Now you go back and run the only one without the space. Now the only one without the space. The only one without the space. The only one without the space around. Now the only one with the space around. And if all of this is too much for your pre-clear, too much for you, just boil it down then to this process. Now mock yourself up as the only one with no space around you. Now duplicate it. Duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. Now mock yourself up as the only one with space around you. Now duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. Now mock yourself as the only one with no space around you. Now duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. Now mock yourself up as the only one with space around you. Duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. And all this time he'll be doing this to the body, you see. The only other thing you would do if you were going to run it in the simplest form, which is what I'm now giving you, is you just now get yourself mocked up as a dot of light with no space around you. Now duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. Now mock yourself up as one dot of light with space around you. Now duplicate it, now duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. Now one dot of light with no space around you. Now duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. You do it. He would do it as a body. You don't have to tell him to do it as a body. He will do that. And then you do it as a thing. And then you'd handle the postulate. I am the only one. And you'd move it around all over the place, and you would duplicate it, and you'd throw it upstairs and downstairs and push it around and even match terminal it and so forth. And then you would go through drills with the PC of putting a couple of mock-ups out in front of him and moving them apart and then putting them slightly closer together and then moving them further apart and then putting them together again. In other words, having him pose any distances of space possible on these two mock-ups. Now, doing this on a thetan exteriorized is the easiest process you ever wanted to run into. You merely have him impose and change and take away space from between two and then four terminals, until he's got terminals out of his system. That's the way you do it. Exteriorized. He's exteriorized, and you just have him mock up two mock-ups. And you put more space, have him put more space between them, and then take some space out from between them, then put more space between them, and then less space between them, and more space between them, less space between them, and move them around, and then fix them up so they're good and rigid, and then have him test them to make sure that they're rigidly spaced by having them have tanks hit them and try to knock them together, and have horses try to pull them apart, and they won't move, and so on. In other words, rigidity, fixation in space, really fixed. And then you run him on drills of move something real fast towards some other object and stop it suddenly. You just keep running these drills. Move something real fast toward an object and stop it suddenly and make it rigid as far as the space is concerned. Now, the funny part of it is that Thetan earlier on the track, occasionally was going to run into a brick wall or a planet or something or other, would put out a pressure beam and stop whatever he was doing from doing it. In other words, he actually did have the power in this universe, which today would amount to seeing that your automobile was going to hit a truck, and you impose a pressure beam between your automobile and the truck, and scream. They don't move any closer together, period. Now, a Thetan who thinks he's a body and gets into an accident is going to assume the idiocy that he, as a Thetan, operating and duplicating a body, is going to be able to put up a pressure beam. He isn't going to be able to put up a pressure beam. He can't sit inside of a body and be a body and think he's a body and so forth, and then suddenly at the last instant recover his own knowingness and say, well, this has gone far enough, this masquerade's gone far enough, and put up a pressure beam in an emergency, which will keep him from hitting a tree when the car he's in is going 60 miles an hour. He is not going to do that. So, of course, he gets hit by the tree, and this tells him, I cannot impose space between two terminals. Ah, me, all is lost. I am weak. I am dead. Now, a little bit later on, maybe in life, why this same Thetan, still thinking he's a body inside, not using his own energy, using the systems of terminals and eating food and devouring energy so that energy will terminal against other energy and doing all this complexity and so on, gets left by a marital partner or a sweetheart. So he puts up a great big tractor beam. You know, just the last second he's decided to recover some of his knowingness. You'll find he's actually done this. Anybody. And he puts up this big tractor beam and wraps it around the departing sweetheart, see, in order to hold those two terminals together. Nah, didn't work. They kept right on walking. So now he knows he can't keep two terminals together either. And this will leave him in a state of either, it's an unbalanced state. It'll leave him chronically trying to hold two terminals together or chronically trying to keep two terminals from going apart. The latter is a dispersed case, and the former is a fixed case. The person who is just everything is left, is just ready to abandon anything at any moment. You would say, I want that. Why, they'd give it to you. You'd say, let's move, and they'd move very rapidly and swiftly. They'd feel that there was danger involved in staying still. You know, they can't hold things into them, and they're stuck on incidents whereby things have departed even though they've tried to hold them together. So any suggestion they hold something together makes something depart. You say, now, why don't you remember this? Boom, it's gone. See, the suggestion they try to pull in a thought is enough to make the thought depart. Suggestion they should hold on to anything is enough to make them abandon it. Because the one thing they're super sold on is the fact they can't hold two terminals together or pull a terminal in. Now, there's the other kind of case, which is certain that he can't ever hold two terminals apart. Every case has both of these conditions. So, something comes in toward this case will just stand there. He won't move. He knows he can't hold it apart. If you were to pick up an anvil and throw it at him, and it was the least effort imaginable for him to sidestep it, if he were feeling kind of low that day, he'd just stand there and take it. Have plenty of warning, everything else. You could say, I'm going to throw this anvil at you. Well, he knows he can't hold those two terminals apart. He has the feeling that if he did move his body aside from the path of the anvil, the body's magnetic abilities or something would move it back into the path of the anvil. See, he just thinks those two terminals are going to come together inevitably. He will also fall up at the ceiling and do other things. See, he just knows he can't hold two terminals apart. That's the soul. And he also knows he can't hold two terminals together. He can't hold them together, he can't hold them apart, and that is a complete weakness, and that is itself where this person, that's the mechanics. This is the mechanics behind I have to have energy and I have no energy and so on. Let's go a little bit further on this and cover the subject of sensation, which is a sensational subject, and we realize that all sensation is energy. All sensation is energy. A person who has made an enemy out of energy and energy development and so forth will eventually get caught on the inversion and have to have it. You start resisting, you cave in, and if you don't resist, it's rigged both ways. All right, we find this fellow is unable to hold terminals apart or pull them together. There's one thing that we know will also go along with it. Let's say this guy or this girl, either way. This person has to have sensation. This person mentions sensation coming from the body or the need of sensation from a body. Be advised. They are talking about the second terminal. Now, you don't run it on a person bluntly or before an audience because it will embarrass them. But you have another, in a session, you have another terminal. You're not talking about them as a body. You're not talking about this preclear as a body. And the preclear as a Thetan needing the sensation in this body. You're talking about the preclear as a Thetan needing sensation via the body which he normally has, via it, from the opposite sex. Interesting. The missing terminal that permits, that makes it impossible for this character to exteriorize is the opposite sex. Need sensation from the opposite sex. All right, you're auditing a man. You run the opposite sex. You see? And if you were going to use a postulate now on this person is hung up on sensation. They couldn't have any sensation of their own, so therefore they don't dare depart from the body, and they can't have any energy because they have to have energy from elsewhere and all that sort of thing. And we're running into this computation, and this person's a man. Why, you have to have, I have to have a woman to have sensation. See, he's a man. He's got a man's body, but he has to have a woman to have sensation. You'll find out that that postulate, by the way, is wrapped up in pig iron. That's like moving around a Mallet locomotive. That's a big, heavy symbol. You'll find he creak and groan at it for some time until he finally gets that thing mobile. Now you push that around for a while, he gets rid of a lot of the burden. Now you take a girl, you say, I have to have a man to have sensation. So we have to have another body besides the body he already has in order to have sensation. In other words, we've got a two-body terminal proposition, two terminals. You see, because there's two deposits of sensation which discharge one against the other, and only then can the thetan have sensation. So what's missing there? You're not trying to exteriorize the thetan from one body. You're trying to exteriorize him from two. You're trying to get him back off of two terminals on which he depends for sensation feedback to himself. For energy feedback to himself, mechanical effort, all the rest of it. You're always trying to exteriorize two thetans from two bodies when you say to one person, be 3 feet back of your head. That's cute, isn't it? And it's the only reason, actually, that you fail in exteriorizing somebody. You're trying to exteriorize them out of two bodies. And in the case where he's got multiple difficulties in the past, and where he's got a lot of bodies in restimulation, and he's had a lot of losses in terms of bodies and so forth, in effect, you may be trying to exteriorize a thetan from 8 bodies or 10 bodies. And at all at one fell swoop, you're going to do this by saying, be 3 feet back of your head. No, you're not. The fellow is unable to impose space between two terminals, much less between himself and this body. So if he can't impose space, and if he can't maintain space between the two of them, he will be in a difficult situation. Now, there's another condition which comes up and bangs you in the teeth as an auditor once in a while, and that is you get somebody outside and they can't get back in again. They get desperate about it. This doesn't happen as often as the other way, but it happens. You can do it in many ways. You can merely be gentle and persuasive and finally kick them back in their heads. This is not difficult. But recognize this as the other condition. Here is a person who can't get space out from between two terminals. This person can't take the space out from between two terminals, so he can't get back in his head. Here is the case that does a bunk. Here's the case that leaves for Arcturus. They're not really compulsively leaving at all. Once you've started to put some space between, they can't lessen it. So there's the case that can't lessen space between two terminals and the case that can't lengthen space between two terminals. And between these two things, you get all the conditions involved in theta clearing, which are difficult. And these are remedied by the various techniques which you have. If you understand this very thoroughly, why, you'll understand the exact difficulties the person is having, and it won't look anywhere near as necromantic when I start to throw somebody out of his head and he starts getting more and more stable outside of his head. So what I'm trying to do is just that. I'm trying to work them around one way or the other so that they can have a little more space. They can handle space better. Basic technique of what somebody is interiorized, and the one which you possibly will find yourself using more than any other, is walk up yourself now as the only one with no space around you. By the time you pull 40 or 50 bodies have flown off of this mock-up, or other strange things will have occurred. You just keep on with the technique. Now mock yourself up as the only one with space around it. Duplicate and duplicate and duplicate. Mock yourself as the only one without space around it. Duplicate and duplicate and duplicate. And then finally say, mock yourself as the only dot of light with no space around it. And duplicate it and duplicate and duplicate. Now the only dot of light with space around it. And duplicate and duplicate and duplicate and duplicate. And you just keep this up back and forth. You'll get all these other manifestations one way or the other. But the horrible weakness that comes over a pre-clear who is interiorized makes this technique a deadly. So handle it with an E-meter and try to get him to get a couple, have a couple of people, a man and a woman, and have him try to keep them from going apart and then have him keep them from coming together. And work with them until the re-stimulative material comes off of it. There will be maybe 2-3 major incidents in this person's life, and these exactly agree with occlusion. The black curtain is simply a manifestation of needing energy manufactured for one by terminals and then not having the power to set the terminals there anymore. That's all you need to say about it. That's just he needs the power manufactured for him by two terminals, and then he doesn't have the terminals anymore. And this condition cut in at a moment when he had to accept a terminal too violently, or one left him, and he thought it was himself. And he will thereafter tell you that he lost part of himself when Gracie left. She lost part of herself when Joe shoved off. They'll say this. Well, that is over this basis of they think they are the only one. And so you have to solve the only one, too. They think they're the only one, and actually they're the only two. The trick of the universe is to make somebody invest something in the universe himself, and then lose it, and then take substitutes thereafter. Okay?